Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston. Bread for the
Broken. What I've learned is if you're not able to talk to each other, hey, churches, if you're not willing to talk to each other within the church, guess what? Frustration. Guess what? Splits. That's how it works. But if you could just sit down and say, all right, let's talk. Let's throw it out there. No feelings attached. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Throw it out there. Let's talk about it. These guys are willing to talk about it. They're going to work through this.
Perhaps one of the most tragic things that can happen within any given congregation is for a severe division or split to occur. To make matters even worse, sometimes these divisions occur over things as small as disagreements over the color of the carpet. In today's message, Pastor James discusses how an unwillingness to discuss any and all matters can lead to division when it comes to bigger issues. In his study, he learned the importance of openly discussing griefs, disagreements, and areas of tension for the sake of unity. Now here's Pastor James in the Book of Acts, chapter 15, with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
There's no distinctions. It says, verse 9, and made no distinctions between us and them. Because there is no more us and them in the world of Christianity. In the sense of believers. It's brothers and sisters. That's how it is. Purifying their hearts by faith. By faith through grace, right? Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? He's like, why are you placing this burden on these guys? Tell me, how did you do with that burden? Failed miserably, didn't you? Yeah. So you expect these guys to carry it when our fathers and our prophets, nobody was able to carry this thing. There was only one. His name was Jesus, and he bore it so that we wouldn't have to. We talked about this last week. You do have a burden. You do have your load. Remember that. Jesus says, hey, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my burden upon you, for my burden is easy. It's light. You do have a burden, but it's the one that Jesus has given you. So it's perfectly suited for you. Carry your pack, right? We talked about that. I think that was last week. Carry your pack. Answer the call that he has for you on your life. Get out there. Represent Jesus, like serve him. That's your pack. But you can't place burdens on other people, and that's what Paul's saying here, or that's what Peter's saying here. He's saying it's not fair for you guys to put these demands on these guys. You can't put onto them what Jesus has taken from us. You can't do that. And if you don't catch the undertones here, I mean, it's not that hidden. It's kind of blatant, but Peter is saying, like, I think God is in charge of salvation. I think God's in charge of this thing. So I don't know when we stepped in and decided to make all the rules, but I think, and if you just read through this, his little message again, there's a lot of, little pronouns concerning God and how it's God who sees the heart and how it's God who gave them his Holy Spirit, how it's God who saved them. They place their faith in him. But it's God is the one who's done all the work. And Peter's like, so why do we think we get to step in and place a burden on these guys? Doesn't make sense. So they're having this great discussion. They're all talking about, they're working through this problem. This could have torn apart the church. This would cause issues for sure, but they're working through it. They're working through it. And that's the thing. If you're going to work through an issue, you have to be able to sit down and talk about the issue, okay? Even if you're dealing with Pharisees who are like, no, it's either this way or it's no way. Fine, you can say that, but you got to be willing to sit down and talk, and there's got to be some back and forth, because if there's no back and forth, there's no solution. Hey, America, if there's no sitting down and having a good, healthy back and forth, there's no solution. There's just frustration. That's how it works. In all my years on this planet, 41, I think, if that's how old I am, I don't know. My wife's not here, so I don't know. That's what I've learned is if you're not able to talk to each other, hey, churches, if you're not willing to talk to each other within the church, guess what? Frustration. Guess what? Splits. That's how it works. But if you could just sit down and say, all right, let's talk. Let's throw it out there. Throw it out there. No feelings attached. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Throw it out there. Let's talk about it. These guys are willing to talk about it. They're gonna work through this. It goes on to say, now therefore, Paul or Peter is saying, why do you test God? There's only one way you can test God. Biblically, there's only one way he allows you and has given you permission to test him. Only one. I could have talked about this last week, but I forgot, right? It's in giving. It's in giving. Malachi, he talks about it. He's like, look, you want to test me? All right, test me. See if you can outgive me. See if you can outgive me. You're like, oh, that seems like such a churchy verse, right? Like those pastors who use that. No, no, no. If you don't get that verse, then you're missing out, okay? Because this isn't like a plea from a church, and I'm a pastor, I get it. But like to, hey, you got to give more, because if you give more, then God will open up the windows and the floodgates open up. I'm not talking, no, in your life personally with Jesus, he says, hey, test me on this. That's up to you as an individual. Test him on it. I can tell you from personal experience, there are times when I did not test him on that because I didn't trust him, right? Even as a believer, I wasn't giving like I should have been because I didn't trust him. Full honesty. As a pastor, okay, because I was like, oh, Lord, I don't know. You're not looking at my finances like I am. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess you just don't get it. No, I don't. I don't. And the real issue is I don't trust you. I don't trust you. Right? So there's repentance and all that good stuff. That's a thing to where the Lord's like, look, see, try me in that one area. And that's not an area dealing with the issue of doubt or anything like that. That's just understanding and faith in the Lord. Like, yeah, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive him. And if you're giving, and I've had mentors in my life, they've expressed the same thing repeatedly. You know, they're like, look, I give generously, and it's not about anything other than it's an act of worship towards God. And they're like, I've never had need for anything. The Lord just shows up in just weird ways. So if you're going to test them on that. Don't test them in this area of concerning salvation, okay? Why do you test God? Why do you put God to the test? By putting a yoke on the neck of these of the disciples and their believers, which our fathers nor us were able to bear. Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall all be saved in the same manner as them. What a word. What a word from these groups who are primarily Jewish, who are meeting together discussing Gentiles getting saved. And Peter's like, man, he's like, here's the deal, guys. We believe that we'll be saved through the grace of God, grace of the Lord Jesus, just like them. Not we believe that they will be saved just like us, but we will be saved just like them. That's Peter placing priority on the Gentiles, so to speak. Not saying that they're more important, but he's putting them on the same level. And they would have gotten that by his verbiage there, by the way that he constructed that sentence. They would understand that he's saying like, oh, so we are basically one and the same with these Gentiles. Yeah. Yeah, you are. Because in Christ, you're a new creation. There's no more Jew. There's no more Greek. There's none of that stuff. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. It's who you are. Verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this is found in Amos, after this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things, right? So the Old Testament has always been thrown out there, like Gentiles are going to be a part of the equation, so to speak. There's always been a place for the Gentiles. The Gentiles have always been part of the plan, even back in Genesis chapter 12, I believe it was, with Abraham. So James just stands up and he's like, listen, guys, the word has already told us this. He's already told us this, that the Gentiles were always going to be a part of the plan. And we don't need to put any burden on them. Verse 18, he goes on to say, known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them. Here's the thing. There are some guidelines. There are some things. Now, this is for their benefit, and this is an understanding from James and the leadership that these are things that these guys are surrounded by in their everyday lives, and they should stay away from these things. That's what he's saying. He's like, but look, here's the thing. James continues on. Here's a list of things that they need to abstain from, okay? From things polluted by idols, right? So that's like things that are like offered up to idols. Now, I can break these things down, but essentially Paul included somewhat of this list into his letter to the Church of Galatia to a certain extent. Things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. So he's like, all right, look, you don't have to get circumcised. But there are some things you just practically, you need to keep yourself free from. And these are things that, again, on a daily basis, they were encountering, okay? So whether it's things being polluted by idols or things being offered up to idols. So if you went into a restaurant or you're going over to so-and-so's house and you know like the way that they're going to prepare the meat, so to speak, it's all they're going to sacrifice to their God first and all this stuff. And what he's saying is like, look, number one, you shouldn't be doing that, okay? Number one, don't do that. You don't need to do that anymore. If that was your practice, you don't need to do that anymore. The other thing is this, though. Here's the other side of this, and Paul would talk about this in the book of Romans. You could show up to somebody's house, and you don't know how they prepared the meat or who they offered the meat to. You may be ignorant to that. And what would Paul say? Just eat it. Just eat it. You don't have to ask questions and be like, before I take a bite of this, did you sacrifice this to some foreign god that I don't... Just Paul would be like, look, just eat the meat, okay? Just eat the meat. But there are some practices, some things that not all Gentiles, but some of the Gentiles were known for, and James through the church is saying, listen, stay away from this stuff. You don't need to live this way anymore. You shouldn't live this way anymore, okay? Because, well, number one, some of this stuff, well, almost all this stuff is really can be impactful on your health, okay? But you're different, and you don't have to live like your community around you. If your community around you says, but no, we feel as though this is okay. But if that goes contrary to what the gospel says, then it's not okay. It's not. So abstain from it. That's all they're saying. They're like, we're not going to put any burdens on you. You don't have to get circumcised. You don't do any of that stuff. But there are some things that some changes in your life you just need to make. Verse 22. Then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men from their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who is also named Barsabbas, probably a good call to go away from that first name, Judas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. So these are outstanding men within the church. And they're going to send them back with Paul and Barnabas to deliver this letter, okay? So they wrote this letter by them. Now here, basically this letter is essentially what is what we just talked about. All right, so it says, they wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised to keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. They're like, they may have represented themselves as coming from us, but we didn't tell them to say this. Okay, that's basically what they're saying. They don't have the authority from us. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, and from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Right? That's their letter. Sincerely, the church. So there's the letter to the Gentiles saying, listen, we place no burden on you. We place no burden on you. However, we do expect that if you are walking with Jesus and that you are following the Lord Jesus, that there is a life change in your life. There's a difference. There should be a difference, and that's called accountability, okay? We're not going to make you follow, you know, uphold the law of Moses and get circumcised and do all these other things, but we are going to ask that you change the way you live your life to a certain extent. Only in areas that are contrary to the gospel. Verse 30, so when they sent off, or when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. That's a beautiful thing. So here, this letter from all these leaders from the church with the solution to this problem, and it causes the church to rejoice and to celebrate. That's a beautiful thing. That's a good way to receive even sometimes something that's difficult to receive. If it comes from the Lord, well, you could still, even though you may not like it, you can still celebrate it. Why? Because he loves you. And what you have with this beautiful, amazing book, and in some places where you may not like it or you may not agree with it, but you can never deny the fact that there is just love oozing from this book, from the one who authored it for your life. So I can come to this thing and I can be like, oh man, I just don't really like that part that much. It doesn't matter. I can't deny the love of God. And I'm going to read it, and I'm going to take it and be like, you know what? Lord, I know that you're saying these things because you care about me, because you love me. And at times, and we know this, we just went through Galatians, the flesh within us is going to be at war within us. But even if your flesh is at war with what the Word of God has to say, you cannot deny the fact that he loves you so much that he has recorded it and written it down and preserved it so that you can have it, you can hear it, and you can apply it because he loves you. Because he loves you. So there's rejoicing over it. It's encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. There you go, pastors who talk a lot. That's why we're like, what is this? Oh, it's not a new thing. No, it was happening back then too, okay? So pastors have always talked a lot, okay? Lots of words, all right? Many words, okay? Verse 33, and after they stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, so you got some good news. Things are going good. Things are going really good. It seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also, and things are amazing, and they're good. And then the breakup. And then the Beatles split, right? Some of you remember that. I don't. I wasn't there. But I hear it was dramatic. This is like, I was doing some research on like significant breakups through history. Unfortunately, a lot of those were dealing with Hollywood, which I was just like, give me a break. I don't care. But the Beatles are like number one. They were like one of the top ones, right? Just like, okay, I understand that. But breakups and what seems like the perfect team, the dream team, they fall apart. It's not always a bad thing. It's not always a bad thing. But it's not always a good thing. It's not always a good thing either. And even in this story, it's kind of like, well, was this good or was it bad? I don't know. I think it was kind of, I don't know. It seemed like Paul had the right idea. That's all I'm going to say. It seemed like Paul had the right idea. Now, the key issue, John Mark, he comes into the scene later on, and Paul is grateful for him. He didn't need to take him on this missionary journey. You know, I mean, maybe he had some ill feelings towards him and all that stuff, because he kind of chickened out at the beginning of the first missionary journey. He couldn't take it. But here's what happens. Verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing," right? That's a great thing. That's what they should be doing. Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. That's John Mark, same individual who was used to write the Gospel of Mark, okay? Barnabas is determined to take with him because John Mark is part of his family, but he is determined to take with him. He's not budging. Now, is he right or is he wrong? I don't know. But just as determined as he was to take John Mark, Paul was equally determined to not take John Mark. And there's an explosion. There's an eruption that happens there. It says, "But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another." Like, it got serious. These two who were like, man, I mean, Barnabas was like the guy who was like right there recommending the Apostle Paul. He's not the bad guy in this story. He's not. He's just somebody who is like, okay, cool. Yeah, let's go on this mission trip. I think we should take this guy. And Paul's like, no way. I'm not taking him. He didn't even last the last time. He bailed on us. When we needed him the most, he bailed on us. So we're not going with him. Barnabas is like, no, listen, either he goes or I don't go. And Paul's like, fine. You can go your own way, right? Fleetwood Mac, you can go your own way, right? Have it your way. But I'm gonna go on this trip. And there was a sharp contention between these two men. Now, was there any love loss in this relationship? I'm gonna say probably not. They're still brothers in the Lord. But there's times where, man, the team breaks up. There's times when the band breaks up. It's just how it is sometimes. And sometimes it works out for others, and then sometimes you get a Yoko Ono and nothing happens, right? You're like, oh, what happened to that? Well, he wrote some good songs, but it's like, it didn't really work out. Sometimes the breakups, they're there. They could work out better than maybe how it plays out within our lives. And I say that because Barnabas sails off to Cyprus, and out of the book of Acts, for the most part, you don't hear from him. You don't hear from him. He took Mark with them to Cyprus. It says that right there. It says, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. That's it. That's it. Should he have just gone along with Paul? Probably. He probably should have. And then maybe on the third missionary journey, bring Mark when he's proven himself.
Hope to the hopeless, hopeless, pray for the broken.
That's all we have time for today on Bread for the Broken. We're so glad that you joined us as Pastor James Grizzle teaches through the book of Acts. If you'd like to hear today's teaching again or listen to more verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor James, visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the Teachings tab. While you're visiting breadforthebroken.com, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind the ministry of Bread for the Broken. At Calvary Galveston, we strive to love and live as Jesus did. We're just ordinary people discovering extraordinary truths from the Bible together. As we continue to journey through the book of Acts, our prayer is that your faith is inspired to move, that when you read about the early church, you rediscover the purpose that God has for your life. You might think you're just ordinary, but God sees you deeper, and He knows that you're more than that. Being obedient to the calling that God has on your life might not always make sense, but God blesses those who are faithful to answer His call. And you never know what incredible things God has in store when you freely say, "Yes, Lord." If you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to have you come visit. Or if you're looking for a new church home, you're always welcome. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. to start the week out right with worship. Our atmosphere is pretty relaxed, so feel free to come just as you are. Find out more and plan your visit by going to our website, breadforthebroken.com. As you go throughout the rest of your day, may you find hope and new life in Jesus.
Let me paint the picture of you.